Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/watsonassistant.
This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
This is a very big app because it has multiple segments within a segment. At 12:30, you have Nobservations. But before you go Nobservations, you get the weather update, which should be a beauty today, and the game that is sweeping the nation. And that would be, what time did Rick go to bed last night?
And heated battle, too. Heated battle. 1-1 going into Wednesday. Heated.
Yeah, but he has – it's like – you know what it's like? It's like a tennis match, and he broke serve, and now Chris has – holds serve. So I don't feel great about my situation right now.
I trust you, though. You'll bounce back.
I hope.
Good like that.
I mean, odds, you know, if you go back into the history books of who typically wins this kind of a battle, if you win game three, you have a tremendous advantage.
So that's what this is, pivotal game three?
Yeah.
Okay.
Best out of five series. That's true, Dave. Excellent
point.
I mean, today
is the day. Odds are distinctly in the advantage of whoever wins the match today. You have serve. It's very difficult for me to win.
I don't know if it's as difficult as you think, though, Dave, because it's not like if you go over, you're disqualified. This is not Price is Right rules. If you're just closer than I am, you've got a shot.
Correct. Well, yeah. I hope to be.
So
I know you're going to make me go first, and you're going to figure out a way to manipulate the game, as you should, and I don't know.
Okay. All right.
I feel like I'm at a disadvantage. But, you know, it's my own doing for having a stupid guest yesterday. All right. Well, I mean, it is. I have no one to blame but myself.
Yeah, you went lower. I mean, you should have. Come on. I mean, you got Greeny. You got a 2-hour ESPN special on TV, on the radio. You had to imagine I'd be up, I mean, way later than usual.
It was a bad job by me. All right. So, ESPN's doing an interesting little article or kind of an overview with all the beat reporters about what teams are set up for the best for the next decade. Let's talk about our local teams, and let's start with Jordan Renan. Now, before we even hear from Jordan, Chris, take your mind, your heart out of it, and be objective, as I know you always are with the Giants, but next decade, how do you feel the Giants look right now?
Well, I think the Giants are in pretty good shape, Dave. You know, I'm more optimistic about the 2020 season for the Giants than most are. You know, I think they'll be somewhere around a 7-9, 8-8 ball club. Just because I think the quarterback is trending in the right direction, and what Dave Gettleman has done this offseason is to continue to support his young quarterback and aid in his development by being able to get Andrew Thomas with that fourth overall pick. I think that's going to go a long ways to solidifying the offensive line and alleviating the number one concern that we had about Daniel Jones coming out of 2019, which was his ball security in the pocket. You don't have to worry about ball security as much if he's not getting hit as much. So you couple that with the fact that he's going to have a healthy Saquon Barkley, you know, not the guy that we saw that was banged up for the majority of last year, and that Darius Slayton in year two should be better to go along with Golden Tate and Sterling Shepard, Evan Ingram being in a contract year situation. So I feel a lot better about the support that Daniel Jones has, and I think this kid is really going to take off. I think he has – the right kind of character, not just from the things that he does off the field and those intangibles, but also about the way that he approaches the game, the way that he approaches his craft.
Can I ask a quick question? I mean, you guys watched the video. I mean, was there a mandate that everyone involved in the NFC East chat had to wear a blue polo?
Well, they probably wanted it to look, you know, solid.
All different shades of blue. I mean, is that what we're doing? That's fine.
Well, what's wrong with that? It's a nice look.
Okay. I was just asking. I mean, I don't know if they got, I mean, the memo was sent out that you must wear a blue golf shirt.
Well, they probably wanted them to look, you know, casual yet classy and good. And that's how they wanted
Jordan's
to do
got
it.
Jordan's got his diploma up. I mean,
he can't help it.
No, he can't help it. No, that's what happens when you're the lesser version of Kevin Burkhardt. I get it. I mean, you're just trying to make up any way you can.
By the way, I think you were off on Friday. Was it Friday we had him on the show? And I mentioned that's what you now refer to as, and he looked at that as almost a nice thing.
Yeah, because that's he's being rational about it. It wasn't meant to be a. I mean, it wasn't meant to be negative.
But when you say it you're felt lesser like a shot, than though. Someone else, when you start out saying, well, you know, you're okay, but you're lesser than this person. I don't know. That's kind of a slight, no?
Yes.
I didn't say he was okay. I said he is a less handsome version of Kevin Burkhardt.
I don't know. I don't look at. I can't believe that went over well.
He said he liked it. I was listening.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, you can't. Who cares if you're offended? He loved it.
But we also concluded, Rick, that he kind of resembles Bob Papa, too.
A little bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's
he's
going to
need a lot more. He'll need a lot more hair paint to be Bob Papa.
Right. So instead of critiquing what everyone's wearing, can you critique your opinion on where the Giants are for the next decade?
Next decade.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to, offensively, you have to like, you know, where they're set up. You know, Chris mentioned, you know, Andrew Thomas, which we all think is going to be able to step in, if it's not this year because of the circumstances. At some point, he'll be the left tackle. I love Daniel Jones. I know everyone likes Daniel Jones. You got Saquon. Defense is still the biggest concern. I mean, you guys don't necessarily trust Dave Gettleman, so that would be a concern for me. Their defense is still a ways away from being formidable, to say the very least. I think you're probably looking at the Cowboys over the next decade kind of more on the downturn.
I would agree.
Carson
Cowboys better now. Like, you could argue Cowboys' yes. best team in the division right now. But over the next decade, although I will say this, offensive line getting older, Tyron Smith getting older, Elliott, yep. you know, the shelf life of that, you don't know. But you still, and I know I joke about it all the time, the quarterback's still pretty good in Dallas. And if he's going to be their quarterback for the long term, that's a big piece of the puzzle.
Yeah, but he's going to get paid now. So that's going to affect your salary cap. Salary cap will go up. I understand that. But you still get to take advantage of Daniel Jones being on a rookie deal for the next 3 years.
I will say this, the NFC East better hope Dwayne Haskins isn't a good quarterback.
I'm hoping that, yes.
Because if he is, it's going to be a problem with the Washington. I don't even want to say the last name because I think it's ridiculous that they haven't changed the name of the team yet. But that Washington team is going to be a really tough team to deal with the way that they built that front seven.
Yes.
That's probably the second best front seven in the NFL.
But that's a big if. If Dwayne Haskins is going to be good.
That is a big if, but I mean, it's not like we haven't seen quarterbacks make huge jumps from year one to year
two. He wasn't set up to have success either.
No. Listen, I'm not saying that you're wrong.
I guess I just look at it from the standpoint of you love the coach that they have now in Ron Rivera. You know he's going to be able to develop that program. You know he's going to be able to maximize the potential that his players have. I just feel like Washington is going to be a much more stable franchise with him at the helm and a couple of people in the front office out. And so the thing that they've been missing in Washington is a competent quarterback, the one that they had in Kirk Cousins. They decided to let him walk in free agency. But if Dwayne Haskins happens to be the goods, then Washington could be a problem for the next decade.
Oh, I agree. Because their coach is now legitimized. Their defense should be very good. Chase Young is going to be unbelievable, you'd figure, if he's good. But here's the thing. If he's not, then it's almost all for naught, right?
Yeah, I mean, if you don't have a quarterback, what do you have in the NFL? It's going to be hard to compete in this league if you don't have somebody that's a difference maker at the position. Now, if you got somebody that's a solid quarterback, you can still have a chance to be good. You just, your margin for error is
right.
essentially
you
zero.
You have to be great in every other spot. All right, now yes. let's hear from the lesser Kevin Burkhardt. We refer to him as Jordan Renan. Are the Giants best set up for long-term success in the NFCs?
You look at the Giants and you compare them to the Eagles, they do have something that's key. They have that young quarterback. Now, we don't know exactly what that ceiling is. So when you look at the Giants team, at least offensively, they seem to be positioned fairly well for the future. And if Daniel Jones is the real deal, then they might end up being in the conversation, right? They have Daniel Jones at quarterback, Saquon Barkley at running back, a left tackle that hopefully is going to be the guy for the next 10 years, and Andrew Thomas that drafted in the first round this year. So there's some key young pieces. Evan Ingram as a weapon. Those are some key young pieces. If Daniel Jones turns out to be the real deal, you can have the Giants in that mix.
All right, Giants in the mix, but more from Jordan. What team is set up best for long-term success in the NFC East? He sees it as
the front runner still is the Eagles, because like you mentioned, Carson Wentz, 27 years old. It all starts with the quarterback. So who has the best quarterback in the division? Carson Wentz is 27. You figure if as long as he stays healthy, that's a big if for Carson Wentz. 35, you can easily go till as a quarterback in the NFL. That's most of the decade right there. So if Carson Wentz stays healthy and is the real deal, the Eagles, to me, are still best set up a little bit better than the Cowboys with that.
All right. So
here's the thing. I think I agree with them as long as Carson Wentz can stay healthy.
That's a big if, though.
That's a big if. I get it. You're 100% right. But in the moment, just saying like, all things equal that he's healthy, I think for, you know, sustained success over the decade, I mean, doesn't it obviously starts with the quarterback? It's a quarterback's league. But then it has to be head coach and front office. Because you're talking about, I mean, this is an extended period of success. So right now, wouldn't you say with coach, quarterback, and GM, you probably trust the Eagles the most at the moment?
I would agree with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Although I just don't trust the quarterback, though, to stay healthy. I just don't.
Something about it, I just don't trust it. I mean, has he ever stayed healthy?
Yeah, I mean, he stayed healthy all 16 last year, but he got injured in the playoff game. He got knocked out with a concussion, and he stayed healthy all 16 in his rookie year. It was the two years in between that. He was dealing with the ACL and other little things. But
in college, too, though, he was hurt.
In college, too, he was hurt, man. So I guess I just – it's something about Carson Wentz. I don't feel great about it. And if I were to be asked to buy stock in one of these teams for over the next decade and hold on to it.
Do it.
It'd be the New York Football Giants.
Yes.
It'd be the Giants. And listen, I don't trust their general manager, but I do trust.
He's not going to be there for the decade either.
Exactly, Dave. He won't be there for the decade. And the guy that they're probably going to pass the reins to, I feel pretty good about him. So I like what I've heard from Joe Judge, and I like what they have on the roster with the young pieces. I really do. Their defense has a long ways to go. I get it. But you can mitigate that to some degree if you have a dominant offense that's able to control time of possession. And last I checked, they got a pretty good running back. So if I had to buy stock in one of those two teams for the next decade, it'd be the Giants.
You hear that? You hear that, Rick?
No, I hear it. No, listen, I don't necessarily disagree. I mean, Carson Wentz, especially the concussion, scares me to death. I mean, I feel like Carson Wentz could be, you know, with how much he gets banged up, how he plays the game. I mean, that was a self-reported concussion. This is exactly what you should do. But that, I mean, when you start talking head injuries.
In the playoffs, though, Rick.
I have to say it because you're supposed to self-report. I mean, I wouldn't personally, but you have to say that you should.
Yeah, I get it. But
I could feel Carson Wentz going the way of someone like Andrew Luck, where the injuries just pile up, couple more concussions, and then.
But it wouldn't be because the Eagles didn't do everything they could to put a good offensive line in front.
Right, they've tried.
The Andrew Luck, that situation with Ryan Grigson, that was franchise malpractice.
That was awful. They never improved the offensive line for the poor guy.
Yeah, that's not what Howie Roseman has done.
Although Barrett, I will say this though to Chris's
initial point, and if Dave played in Washington, it'd be the Loofskins.
Is that funny?
The Skins because of the head coach, because of that defense. If Dwayne Haskins can play, that would be a team that concerns me a little bit.
Well, that'd be terrifying.
Yeah.
Because now they've completely legitimized the head coach. If he's a good quarterback, that's a non-issue. The defense looks like it could be really good. But I always hang my hat on the owner. And he's
good
proven
point.
To be nothing short of awful.
That's a great point. Starts at the top. Owner, GM, coach, quarterback. They all have to line up.
I mean, look at what they've done.
I feel better about them having Ron Rivera, though, Dave.
I agree.
Ron Rivera is going to curb a lot of that Daniel Snyder over involvement, making irrational decisions type. He's going to mitigate that some degree.
All right. So there's the NFC East. Now they also discuss the AFC East. And Rick, how do you feel about the Jets over the next decade?
Over the next decade?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you heard Mike Tannenbaum yesterday. I mean, he feels like Sam Darnold's going to just pop.
Because you let the witness.
Oh, yeah, I let him right into it. I feel okay. I'm going to be honest. I mean, I really like Joe Douglas. I don't love Adam Gase. And because I don't love Adam Gase, I feel like we could be in a situation where all of a sudden Sam's going to have a new head coach, new system, and that'll set him back. As opposed to having that, you know, continuity that a young quarterback needs. The Jamal Adams situation concerns me. Did you read Jamal Adams' tweet?
Oh,
yeah, that's not good. That's not a good sign.
He had another tweet?
Yeah, Chris, tell Dave what Jamal Adams had to say.
That's not a good sign, Dave. All I'm going to tell you is this. Jamal Adams has let it be known that it's clear he wants a new contract and he wants to be treated with a certain amount of respect by the organization. And to this point, he hasn't felt that.
Yeah, he feels disrespected, doesn't even have a proposal yet.
But you knew this was going to be a problem.
I know, which concerns me. I love the young quarterback. I think Denzel Mims is going to turn into a good wide receiver. They're going to continue to, I mean, I think the offensive line is better. It's not, I mean, it's not where it needs to be. Becton was a good draft pick. I just, I mean, because I don't love the head coach, I can't be all in. But if Sam Darnold turns into what we all think he's going to turn into, I feel like you could end up having the best quarterback in the division.
All right, let's take a listen. Here's Mike Reese, covers the Patriots, but he gives his two cents on the Jets. How are they set up for the long term?
I looked at the Jets, and I actually really like Sam Darnold as the quarterback that I felt the strongest about. But my question was with Adam Gase, and in terms of team of the decade, is that the type of head coach that I could envision leading that type of team?
Well, here's the thing I'll say.
Who's the next head coach? If we're breaking down the decade, who's going to be the next head coach? Let's be honest.
Exactly.
Who's going to be the next head coach?
Is that if they're bad this year, he's not going to be the head coach in 2 years from now.
Yes, Dave, that could be true. But then you're talking about the progress of your young quarterback, his development being interrupted because he's learning.
Yes.
What would that be, the third system in 4 years?
4 years, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you're talking about that. And you're potentially talking about losing the best player on the team in Jamal Adams because he's not able to have a good relationship and try to work through the situation with the contract. Like, that's why you lean on your head coach. That's why San Francisco paid Kyle Shanahan when he had 3 years left on his contract. It's not just scheming up the X's and O's. It's being able to have good relationships with your players and help them to understand their value within the organization and then to make sure that the timing of when guys get paid works with the timeline that the organization has allotted for that. And to me, that's something that Adam Gase has shown in his two stops as a head coach that he's not very good at doing. And so I would have some serious concerns about where the Jets would be, even if they were to move on from Adam Gase after 2020. I really would. Like, if you look at the AFC East, there's no question in my mind that the Jets have the worst head coach. And I don't know how you overcome that as an organization. And it's too important of a year in terms of the development of the team's overall identity, but also the development of the team's most important player, which is Sam Darnold.
Over the next decade, though, Dave, I mean, the team that would scare me the most?
Miami Dolphins.
It's the Miami Dolphins.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I agree.
Yes. Yeah.
Because they're clearly heading in the right direction.
But Buffalo, Rick, is right there. For me, Buffalo is right there.
If Josh Allen becomes a quarterback that can be really good, Buffalo is terrifying.
They challenged for the division last year with a quarterback play that wasn't that good.
And they should have won a playoff game.
Here's the thing, though. Over the next decade, that's a lot of time. My fear with Josh Allen is that he goes the way of Cam Newton, where he just takes a complete, just gets beat down.
Well, the way he plays, he could.
Yeah, but
just takes a beating.
But what if Josh Allen turns into Ben Roethlisberger?
Then we got problems. I didn't even want to think about that.
Then you got
then
major
we have
problems.
Huge problems.
All right.
Huge problems.
Let's hear from our friend. Does Rich Cimini look like anybody, by the way? Like a lesser version of anybody?
No, he looks like a Rich Cimini.
Okay. Well, here is the man who looks like Rich Cimini because he is Rich Cimini. Who set up the best in the AFC East for the next decade?
I'm a big believer in coach, quarterback, and front office, and so I can't go with the Patriots. Stidham's too much of a wild card, and we don't know how long Bill's going to coach for. So I'm picking Buffalo here, the best team over the next decade. I like their coach, front office, symmetry, synergy, and I like Josh Allen. I don't think he'll ever be an elite quarterback, but he's going to be a guy who wins games with maybe mediocre-type stats, maybe an Eli Manning type of career.
Well, that's a shot at Eli Manning.
Broadside.
Unnecessary.
What is he doing?
Unnecessary. But if Josh Allen turns into Eli Manning, you would love that if you're a Bills fan.
Think about
how great Eli Manning was in the postseason runs for the Giants to win Super Bowls. Come on, man.
Greatest
you got a quarterback that's capable of doing that?
I don't like. You know what? I'm done with Rich. Don't even bother. I'm done. When we talk Jets, there's got to be some. I mean, who else?
You're just going to lay out? You're not
going
to talk
Yeah.
That's funny. In all honesty, we start looking, you know, you take the Patriots out of it because they've been, I mean, just the best team maybe in sports over the last, I mean, what, 20 years?
20 years,
been able to accomplish. But it's funny. Yeah, I joke, and it's just me joking because it makes you crazy, is that, you know, the Giants have morphed into the Jets. But even, like, just going back and forth here, looking at both divisions, how much Miami actually reminds me of Washington. Like, you like Washington's mm-hmm. coach, but you don't trust the owner. You love the Miami Dolphins coach. You don't trust the owner. Both have young quarterbacks that are still kind of unproven. It's weird, like, the symmetry between the two teams, the two divisions.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I can see that.
Because the Redskins scare the hell out of you.
Yes.
And so do the Dolphins.
If he's going to be a good quarterback, it's going to be a major problem for a long time, yes.
Yeah, I feel the same way about the Dolphins. The way you feel about the Redskins, I feel about the Dolphins. Because I love their head coach. I mean, you saw what they did in free agency.
They got a pretty good GM.
They had a great draft.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a lot of people. I actually saw somebody that actually, one of the beat reporters, I don't know who it was, they were going back and forth. Actually, I think Kay said this yesterday, picked Miami to win the division.
That seems early to me.
They were very competitive with not a lot of talent last year.
They'll be a better team, but you're still going to have to figure 10 wins is going to win that division, no?
Yeah, I would say 10, 11 wins
it's hard
the
to
AFC
envision.
East.
It's hard to envision for me that Miami wins 10 or 11 games.
But there's always that team that surprises you, right?
Always
there's
that team
that has a surprise season. And when you look at the veterans that they added, look at the back end of their defense.
No, their secondary is really good.
It's ridiculous.
Really good. And their offensive line should be much better.
I mean, if Tua can play, I mean, Devontae Parker established himself as a legitimate weapon. They got a good tight end. They added two running backs. They got Breeden and Howard. I mean, that's
yeah,
like one of those
the offensive line. Yep. Yeah.
That's like one of those teams that has that crazy like that season where the pieces just make sense for some reason.
Kind of like what happened in San Francisco this past year.
Yeah, like they had the right kind of veterans with some young player with some young talent, and all of a sudden you got a good head coach. Crazy things are.
I can see that. I can see that.
If that happens, forget it. I'm going to have to tap out of the show.
Can you imagine if you go from New England and they pass the baton to the Dolphins?
No, I'll be done. I'll have to tap out. I'll be done.
I'm going to shoot. You guys already have problems with the Dolphins. You guys can't beat the Dolphins.
Yeah, you can't beat them anyway.
I'm terrified of the Dolphin.
That's right.
You know that. I'm just going to start. Listen, I promise you this. I'm just going to strictly overseas. My KBO team's tearing it up. My soccer team just won its 8th straight Bundesliga.
Who's your soccer team?
Bayern Munich.
Oh.
You knew that. I went to the games when I was out in Germany.
Congratulations on that.
Come around with a little cigarette cart. Terrific experience.
They come around and give you cigarettes?
Yeah, have a cigarette card, yeah. Nothing like watching a game just having a person just ripping a dart right next to you.
Great. <Awesome. laughs> Really concerned about the lungs over there in Germany. Terrific. Santi, if you will start us out here.
Do you need to feel better about your life?
Just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber, you go and do something like this.
And totally redeem yourself!
Let's take a look at Rick's Knob Servation.
Welcome back, dum-dum.
All right, here we go, fellas. Hump Day edition. Beautiful Wednesday of Knob Servations. And as we like to start off, we're going to get a look at the weather with our meteorologist, Dave.
The weather outside is weather.
Well, thank you. Weather it's a beauty today, guys. Currently 77 and nothing but sunshine. You'll get a little bit of cloud cover later this afternoon, but by the time 7, 8 o'clock rolls around, it'll be back to bright, pure sun. 5:20 was the sunrise. Sunset, 8:28, but it'll be a beautiful, beautiful sunset. Chance of rain, there is a chance today, 10%, slim chance. Humidity at 45%. Wind, a little breeze out of the east at 7 miles an hour. Feels like 77 right now. Precipitation up to this point, zero. Pressure, 30.26. Visibility, excellent, beautiful. You can see for miles and miles, 10 miles, in fact. UV index at 8, so put some sunblock on if you're going to go out and spend the day outside. Air quality index at 32, and the air quality is considered very good. Thank you.
Outstanding, Dave Rothenberg.
Thank you.
Another comprehensive weather report.
I mean, you feel like you're ready to attack the day now, don't you?
Yeah, but any part of the day, like whatever I decide I want to do, if I want to go in the pool, whatever I want to do, I know exactly what's going on.
That's right. This is what we do.
I mean, you crossed every T, you dotted every I.
If we're not going to do it well, Rick, why do it at all?
That's a great point, Dave. It's a great point. Like, why spend 17 holes golfing trying to win a match when you won't actually walk up to the lagoon and hit your golf ball?
Well, you know what, alligators.
Because you don't want the alligator to come mess with you. How many times I got to say that?
How great would that be for the show, though, if Chris got attacked?
Oh, come
by
on, stop
Let's
it.
Go.
Why if he got, he, great if he got attacked by an alligator?
Wouldn't that be great? But he obviously comes out on top. He would win. I'm not saying
there's video. I don't know that I would come out on top against an alligator.
Karma would say, after how you bamboozled
that word bamboozled you.
Exactly
right, if you will.
Yeah, let's keep that. Let's cut that. That was perfect. Bamboozled with the whole shark diving thing. Oh, I'm deathly afraid of sharks. And he goes in like Jacques Cousteau. All the sharks are all drugged up. Well, it was embarrassing.
So because I had to pay off a bet that I lost last summer at the Riverhead Aquarium, and it wasn't as bad as I thought it was, you feel like somehow you need to get retribution by me having an alligator run up on me for a golf ball?
I don't put this on me. I mean, just cosmically speaking.
Well, you're the one that keeps making a point to bring it up.
Yeah, I thought you would go for the win there. I was a little bit upset.
No,
but Dave,
good.
But seriously, Dave, you don't feel a little bit of a way about the whole? I mean, I watch Milo walk around. He's got the Canty Shark T-shirt on. And I want to vomit. I mean, it was like a bucket
list. Yeah, I would let him wear the T-shirt.
Today.
But I mean, listen, to Chris's defense, and you know, I'd love to pile on here. He did nothing wrong. I mean, he paid off the bet.
Now, was the guy dressed running the aquarium? I mean, all I asked for was some chump. Just give me some give me some something. Chump.
Yeah, I think it would have been nice if the people at the aquarium would have kind of gotten the sharks into a frenzy.
That's what I wanted.
They didn't. It was very benign. I agree. But it's not Chris's fault. Chris paid off his debt.
No, you're right. You're right. There is one person on the show that still hasn't paid off their debt, though.
What do you want me to do? I mean, we're in a pandemic. What do you want me to do? Go fight someone?
No.
Fights on Tuesday night on ESPN. I'm just saying, what's wrong with putting on the headgear and getting in the ring?
Yeah, not somebody. I mean, we know exactly who you'll have to fight.
I understand, but I
coming
think
off a loss, by the
times
way.
Are a little safer than this.
And he's not going to be happy coming off a
I'm
loss.
I'm sorry, a pandemic gets in the way of me paying off the debt.
No, but it will happen.
I never said it wouldn't happen.
Dave lost the NFL picks. Dave lost the NFL picks. Karma would say, after how you bamboozled
that word gets you every time.
How do you screw it up twice? It's embarrassing.
Yeah, I mean, but you sound like you've never heard the word before.
It sounded like I had an allergic reaction to my tongue,
like Will Smith in that movie, right?
Yes, my tongue was too big for my mouth for a second.
Santi, let me hear that again.
I would say after how you bamboozled.
That's wonderful.
Oh, that's gold. That's gold.
All right, get the music ready. Game show that is sweeping the nation.
Oh, here we go.
So everyone knows, Dave won on Monday, controlled the board, made a huge, huge...
Yeah, a tactical error.
...mistake yesterday. Chris came out on top. So now Chris controls the board. This is no longer Price is Right rules. Whoever is closest to the time I went to bed will win. Chris, you're up.
Well, Rick, much like when you go to the 50-yard line and you win the coin toss, you would like to defer. I am going to defer to Dave Rothenberg and allow him to go first with his guess on what time you went to bed last
night. Okay, I'm going to take that guess, and I'm going to save my analysis, because I don't want to give analysis and then Chris buy into it and then change his pick. So I'm just going to give my number, and I'll tell you my rationale after it. I'm going to say Rick went to bed last night at 7:39.
7:39.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting guess. Chris Canty, what do you think?
Ricky, I'm going to go under that, you know. I'm going to go low, and I'm going to go with 7:37.
7:37. I love how you guys are playing the game. Santi, give me the bell for Dave. Dave wins the Wednesday edition.
Yes!
7:52.
Yeah! All right.
Yeah, we had a poop issue last night that needed to be fixed.
What's on a cookie?
Yeah, so delayed the sleep. Not nice. My poop issue. We had a
thank the kids.
Thank you for clarifying that.
Yeah, I'm very regular. You don't have to worry about me.
Because the tremendous concern in radio land.
Yeah. But we battled through it. Found a way. So 2-1 Dave headed into Thursday.
Not with you and the poop issue. Focus on what just happened there. He had control of the board for one day, and I ripped it away.
You
exactly
did rip it
right.
Away. It's very impressive, Dave. Very impressive.
You can tell he put a lot of thought into it. Like he said, I'm not going to give an analysis so Chris can't wise up. He's very, very nefarious.
Yeah. I don't think that's, I don't understand. It's gamesmanship.
Yeah, tiptoeing cheating. Listen, it's tiptoeing cheating.
Listen, we both want to win, so I don't have a problem with Dave employing that strategy and not giving an explanation. It's his prerogative.
Yeah, I didn't do anything wrong.
I decided to go low. I just didn't think that Rick would have back-to-back nights of staying up late. And he told me he was getting in the pool no matter sun or rain yesterday afternoon. So I figured the pool would wear him out and that he would go to bed early because he was a little bit tired on the show.
But no, it did wear me out. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I was asleep on my feet, but I had to. I mean, I'm holding hands trying to really get this thing out.
All right. It's a win for me. I'll take it. I'm up 2-1. All right, let's move ahead. An observation.
Sandy, so you know, too, when Dave wins from now on, because he just said it's his prerogative, can we play It's My Prerogative for Dave as a celebratory music? Appreciate that. Thank you. I got some good news to follow up on Dave's big win. Some good news. Serena Williams, one of the most dominant athletes on the planet, has announced that she will be participating in this year's U.S. Open.
Nice. We will have some star power out there in Queens.
That is really good
news. Yeah, that's good.
By the way, just to jump in for a second, they pushed the French Open back a week.
I saw that.
I think it was supposed to be like September 20th to October 4th. It'll be the 27th to October 11th.
I'll be interested to see what happens on the men's side with all the talk from Djokovic and
of who's gonna actually show up.
Who ends up showing up. Because, again, I mean, if you're curious, I get it. It's going to suck. You have to come. You have to quarantine and everything else. But, I mean, if it's still the U.S. Open. I mean, it's going to be played. Now, all of a sudden, you get into a field with no... with no Federer, maybe no Djokovic and no Nadal, you got a legitimate chance to win.
You really could.
Show up and play. Come on.
I hope so. You already know we're not going to have Federer, so hopefully we get Djokovic and Nadal.
I could watch Federer play. Of all the sports that I enjoy watching, I could watch Federer play tennis all day long.
It is beautiful. Yep.
This is just effortless.
He's great.
All right, here we go, boys. This is a quick one. Did this happen in Florida? Quick one.
Can I give the update first before we get to the Florida?
Oh, update. Absolutely. Let's hear it.
Remember we talked about that disgrace of a human being who pushed that poor woman over. She was 92 years old walking outside of Gramercy Park.
Yeah, savage.
Awful. Just a vile human being. They caught him and arrested him.
Nice.
And it comes as no surprise that he did this. He was arrested for over the 100th time. Yep.
I even watched the video yesterday. I still don't understand why he would just...
No, it was cruel is what it was.
Well, this will cheer you up. This should make you feel better. Any interest in wondering what Gwyneth Paltrow's orgasm smells like?
No.
No.
Well, now you can find out. That. Because on Goop's website, she's offering a 10.5-ounce candle, which costs $75, that apparently smells just like that. It's called This Smells Like
Am
My
I
Orgasm.
New to the party? Haven't we had this or no?
No, this smells like my vajayjay. This one's my orgasm.
Oh.
This is a new one that she announced on Jimmy Fallon.
Very strange.
As her son was right next to her. Interesting.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, God, that's the weirdest part of the whole thing.
This is akin to the guy that was in observations in Spain that had those candles.
Yes.
Yeah.
But he got arrested because the guy died with the toad, the poisonous toad.
Oh, yeah.
That was the poisonous toad story. Yeah, but he makes his money selling the...
Did you see this Alicia Silverstone story, by the way?
The penis candles. No, what happened?
She takes baths every night with her 9-year-old son.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Right?
Yeah, I don't know about that.
That's
Yeah, my son's
at that
five,
point, that's not even borderline. I just think that's...
That's strange, isn't it?
No,
my daughter's three
strange,
and she notices
that's
everything.
That's like call social services.
I actually knew a family. How about this one? They used to all take baths instead of showers, but they would all take separately, but all in the same bath water.
Oh, that's gross! First of all, the bath in its own right is repulsive. I mean, you're getting into water that's just still.
Yeah, I know.
And now, so one person would get in, get their dirt off, and the next person would get in into that filth.
Yes.
So if you're like going third or fourth, I mean, that's oh,
that's a loss. Yeah,
I think you're better off not bathing.
Yeah, or just taking or just doing like a little bird bath situation in the sink.
With the sink, yeah, exactly.
Oh,
not getting in that.
That's
all right, boys. Here we go. Did this happen in Florida? A man was fined $565 for farting in front of police. This man let go a massive intestinal wind, apparently with full intent. So he farted with full intent. At a policeman and was fined $565.
Now, I mean, depending on what he ate beforehand, that could be assault with a deadly weapon.
Good point. You can be arrested for farting at police?
Fined. Yeah, he was fined.
fined? Fine, like a citation kind of thing?
Offending public decency.
No.
That's offensive. Dave, the worst kind of gas could absolutely be offensive.
I'm going to say no.
You ever fart one time and actually,
about this.
Have you ever farted one time and actually not minded how it smelled? Do you ever have that?
This is a very awkward conversation.
That doesn't smell terrible.
So farts smell like roses?
No, I didn't say roses, but it's just like an interesting...
You could sell a scented candle of what you're breaking what it smells like.
Paltrow.
It's like a unicorn, though. That rarely happens.
All right, can we get back to the matter at hand? Because then you're going to be like, I had no time for observations. I'm going to say not Florida, because they're not giving you a fine for that in Florida. No.
Interesting. Kenny, what do you think?
Yeah, a lot of wide open spaces in Florida. I don't think that's something that the police officers would find you for, so I'm going to say not Florida as well.
Yeah, nice. What do you, Santi?
I will. And you know what? Let me give one further. With everything going on with social unrest now, there's no way the police are giving $565 fines for someone passing gas. No way.
I will second and third that opinion. Not Florida.
I actually got the story on Twitter attached with the video clip of "I fart in your general direction" from the movie. Remember that? I fart in your general direction. You guys are correct. That was not even in this country. That was in Berlin.
Okay.
That actually makes sense.
German fart.
That actually makes a lot of sense.
Well, actually, no. This is from the Berlin AP. That was a man in Vienna.
Oh, Vienna. Yeah. Austria.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You fart in your general direction. All right. We don't have much time, so I'm going to give you this. And this isn't even a story. I want you guys to debate this, because when I read it, it was brought up to my attention by Golic and Wingo this morning. This is
an article. It's not a story.
What?
Well, it's not a story. What do you mean it's not a story?
It's an article. This is a sports-related article, and I feel like the person who wrote this needs to be observated about. So this is on CBSSports.com. The purpose of this article was to rank the top 10 quarterbacks for the 2020 NFL season. Top 10 for the 2020 NFL season.
Mm-hmm.
Are you ready for the list?
Oh, God. This is going to be awful, isn't it?
You tell me. Okay. We have Patrick Mahomes 1. We have Lamar Jackson 2. We have Russell Wilson 3. We have Drew Brees 4. We have Dak Prescott 5. We have Deshaun Watson 6. We have Matthew Stafford 7. We have Carson Wentz 8. We have Tom Brady 9. And we have Ben Roethlisberger 10.
You know, that's awful.
Yeah, that's terrible.
I mean, Brees 4 is awful. Roethlisberger 10 coming off of major elbow surgery at, 38 years old is awful.
Yeah, I'm not even going to dignify that list with a response.
Where's Aaron Rodgers on that list?
He's not on the list.
No, he's not on the list.
I mean, Dak Prescott at 5, I stop it. I mean, this is the thing is, it's he's fine with his first 3.
Dak Prescott in front of Deshaun Watson is offensive.
Well, Deshaun Watson at 6 is offensive.
Yeah.
I mean, Matthew Stafford's also coming off of a broken back, isn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, but no, I don't understand how.
You know what it's like? It's a list just to do this.
Yes, that's
this guy
what
came
I think
up
right.
with the list, so we would see it and be shocked by it, and then discuss it, and he'd be like, "See, they talked about my list. Look at me, I win."
Talking about something that's making headlines, guys. This is per our Diana Rossini. The Chargers are the first team to publicly share with the media Colin Kaepernick is on their summer workout list for this upcoming season.
Nice.
Well, that's great.
That's a good step in the right direction. I wonder if that was the team called the Seahawks. Pete Carroll mentioned.
Could have been.
Interesting.
No, I saw that Anthony Lynn said they haven't reached out yet. But they plan to have that conversation. So good.
Yeah.
Good on them. Yeah.
Makes
good
sense.
Good news. Yeah.
Good
that,
news.
I'm telling you
and
guys,
you
that would be, could you imagine how hot that jersey if you went with the Chargers?
That's a way to build up your fan base in a new market.
It is. Yeah, it is.
DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg. Weekdays at 10 on 98.7 ESPN.